We come in full cognizance of the limitations of our human minds, both to deliver as well as to receive this matchless word, the wisdom of God compressed into these words, these eternal words of the Bible. We understand that except you have mercy, we cannot do either deliver it or receive it as we ought. And so, Father, we come to plead for fresh mercy. I, in particular, come to strip myself of every and any confidence I may have in my preparation, what I know. All that does not matter now. My confidence, Lord, is in your mercy to use what I prepared. Use what I know. Use my tongue like the pen of a ready writer to bring forth this word as a word in season, a word in accuracy and power, in the love and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. So an eternal, internal work will be done in the hearts and lives of all those that hear it, myself included, in the name of Jesus. I pray and ask that wherever this word goes in all the earth, Lord, you will cause it to be back with your supernatural power. Enable men to not just be hearers, but be doers of the things revealed in this word in the name of Jesus. I further ask that you help me to be concise, help me to be precise, so I will not say anything that is unnecessary. Bring it forth out of the treasures of your word, things both old and new, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom in the name of Jesus. I also ask you help me, Lord God, to speak as an oracle of God, that there will be a free course of your word from you through me to the people today. As I speak, Lord, you cause our minds to be more enlightened by the revelation knowledge of your word, our wills, Lord God, to be more humble and therefore submitted to your will in Jesus' name. And I also ask, Lord, as I speak, Lord God, you cause the power of the fruit of the Spirit, Lord, to temper our emotions, Lord God, cause them to be aligned with your purpose in this day of your glory. We say thank you. For you will do more than we can ask and think in Jesus' name. And most importantly, I humble myself and I duck under the anointings of my fathers in the house. And I ask you to help me, put their mantles upon me, to bring forth this word as a word in season. Lord, help me to deliver it in accuracy, Lord, so that as it goes forth, it will go forth as a river of life, bringing refreshing unto all that hear it, but especially to them, that as they drink and eat of this vine they have planted. Lord, let them be abundantly satisfied with the travail of their souls in and through me. Thank you, Lord, because you're not a man to lie. You will not lie to David, Lord. That which you have spoken, you are well able to do. So we trust you for mercy, grace, and help. In Jesus' matchless holy name. And the people say, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God for the Bible study this morning. It was really present truth. Amen. And I believe this word I bring is just really more like a repetition in some parts and an addition in other parts. But we thank God for the privilege again to bring this word today. And so I want us to open our ears and open our hearts. And the Lord will have mercy upon us in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, I want us to put on our prophetic caps today. By that I mean that the message which I believe the Lord has given us for today is a prophetic one. And so, you need to put on your prophetic caps. I want everybody to raise up a right hand. Come on, guys. Raise up your right hand and put that cap on now. Your prophetic cap. See, my prophetic cap is on now. As this message proceeds, I will think prophetically. I will not think in the physical or in the carnal. I will think and receive it prophetically. I say in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. I did that because, you know, sometimes when we hear the word of the Lord, we, you know, sometimes are tossed between the physical and, what was he talking about? But this is a prophetic message. So by the help of the Holy Spirit, God will help us. Amen. Now, I believe it's a message for all of us in the house today, but especially for those who are coming anew, and particularly for those who are hearing us on the internet, you know, all over the world. We want to thank you for joining with us, and we say God will also do you good as you hear the word and as you grow in Christ in the name of Jesus. God will impart and impact you through this word and through this service in the name of Jesus. Amen. The Bible joins us to take heed to ourselves and to the doctrine. And this is such a message. And before I start, it's a prophetic message. It came to me as I read, and I'll read it later on, but it came to me as a very, as I read a very familiar scripture, which I will say in a minute, which if you, like, that's why I made us put on that prophetic cap, which if you read it in the physical, you may not understand what God is actually saying. But before we go, let's set our parameters. Give me Revelation chapter 19, verse 10. We set the basis for this message. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 19, verse 10, I said, and I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said unto me, see that thou do it not, I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. All right. Now, where I'm actually going is the end part of this message, this verse. He says, worship God. Now, he now says something which is very important, which is actually the basis of this message today. He said, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. What does this innocuous statement mean? What it's saying here is that the scriptural testimonies which the scriptures give concerning the Lord Jesus, it could be what he did, what he said, or what happened to him, whatever it is. Actually, all scripture is prophetic. That's one of them. But the testimony of Jesus said is the spirit of prophecy, which means that everything the Lord Jesus did, said, suffered, whatever happened to him as he was here on earth, is prophetic. Amen? And there are types and shadows of things to come. Amen? But it has to be illuminated by the unction, the light of the Holy Spirit. Amen? That is, this letter killeth, but the Spirit gives what? So what brings the Word of God to light or to life? And it relates it to us is the power of the Spirit through the illumination of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And this is one such word. Let me give an example. Case in point. When the Lord Jesus says in Luke chapter 13 verse 13, he says, in the first and second day I cast out devils and do cures, but on the third day I shall be perfected. If you read that in the physical, you cannot understand what he's doing. But thank God we have fathers in the house who have given us the keys to unlock the words of the kingdom. Amen. And so you now understand how is what he's talking about. He's talking about the perfection of the church on the third day. Another example, there was a time he went to the temple and said, you pull this temple down, I'll raise it in 3 days. The Pharisees were scandalized. They said, this temple, we built it in 40 years. You're going to raise it in 3 days. But the Bible says, he spake not concerning it, but he spake concerning the temple of his body. Do you understand what I'm saying? So this is such a message by the grace of God. Now, we're going to go, the Bible says that the scripture is a closed book. Pastor White and I were discussing when Pastor Lee was preaching this morning. He said something to that effect. And I said, the scripture is a closed book. But when you hear the truth, it begins to burn your heart. Now those guys on the way to Emmaus, they met the Lord Jesus. Bible says he was hidden from their eyes. But when he broke bread and he began to tell them the scriptures, their hearts were burning. All the while he was opening up, as it says, from the he opened up the scripture. It means the scripture is closed. And you need a teacher. A teacher in the type of Christ to open it to you. Amen. Okay, so now we're going to go to a familiar verse. Now when I want to read this, this is a verse that has gone all, you can say it went viral when it came out. I remember so clearly it was used by a particular ministry and it just went all over the earth. And there's nothing wrong with that. Amen? But there's a new way that the Lord showed it to me and I want to share with us. And it's also, I believe, a word in season for now. All right, give me Luke chapter 13. This forms the basis of our message today. Luke in chapter 13, and we start to read from verse 10. Luke chapter 13 in verse 10. Double. Thank you. And he was teaching. Now let's read together. And he was teaching. Who is this? The Lord Jesus. We talk about the testimony of Jesus. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues. I didn't hear you. And he was teaching where? In one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. Next verse. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together. And could in no wise lift up herself. Next verse. Let me know. I don't want to steal my own thunder. Let's just move on. Next verse. And when the Lord Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. Now, this is the phrase that went viral. I remember those days everywhere was one that was loose, one that was loose, all over the world. And there's nothing wrong with that. Which, like I was saying earlier, you can read this in the physical and miss what God is saying in the spirit. Say, woman, thou art loose from thine infirmity. Next verse. And he laid his hands on her and And immediately she was made straight and did what? Did what? Okay. Now, next verse. Oh, help, help me, Lord. This is amazing. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with, how can a person be indignant that somebody was healed? He said, the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day and said unto the people. He dare not speak it to Jesus. He couldn't have talked, tell to Jesus. He wouldn't even look Jesus in the face. Because he was a hypocrite. You'll see in a minute. Said, there are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them, therefore, come and be healed. And not on the Sabbath day. Oh, thank you for Jesus. Next verse. He didn't even answer. He said, didn't spare him. This is the ruler of the synagogue. The chief honcho in that church. Or you can say the pastor. The bishop. And then the Lord answered him and said, thou hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? On the Sabbath day, don't you take care of your business? Ought not this woman being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? The guy couldn't answer. Next verse. And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and they should have been. And all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. This is the passage that we're going to be looking at today. Now, here was a woman, blessed be woman. Now, as I said, it went viral. And it's a good thing. Women need to be emancipated because, you know, the Bible says that, you know, the seed of the woman shall, you know, be oppressed by the devil, the book of Genesis, when Adam fell. But the essence is, it's more than that. Amen? But there was a woman, the Bible says, she had a spirit of infirmity, bowed together. In other words, the NIV says bent over, but the Amplified, give me the Amplified, quickly. There was a woman that says she was bent completely forward and utterly unable to straighten herself or to look upward. Anyway, my guess is this woman's focus was riveted on the ground before her. No other way she could look. Her focus was on the earth and earthly things. My prophetic cap is on. Tell anybody I have my prophetic cap on. Amen. All that she could see was what was on earth immediately before her. She in no wise could look up and get help. The Bible says, Lord, raise those that are bowed down. That's why God sent the Lord Jesus to this person. And the Lord showed me, and this is the punchline, well, part of the punchline, showed me that this is not just one woman. This is a picture of the overarching abundance of the church of God on the earth today. This woman represents the church, the saints, the leaders of much of the church today. Their focus. Now, they may look different in the realm of the spirit, in the physical. That's why I say don't look physically. But this is how they are in the spirit. And it's important because this is the day when they should not be in this situation. Hello, somebody. And so the Lord came and said, he has now come with the knowledge and the teaching to lift up his church so they will stand upright by sending apostolic, prophetic teachers, kings, Christ-like servants. He has sent to teach, to preach, and to warn every man that he might present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Hello, somebody. Now, let's take a look. Let's back up. Let's look at the woman first of all. First of all, she was a woman. As I said, the type of the church. Give me this. It's prophetic, you know, depicted in Revelation chapter 12, verse 1. Quickly. We're going to be bouncing from scripture to scripture, so I need you to go. All right. Thank you for this. There. Revelation chapter 12, verse 1. This is a prophetic picture of the church, right? And there are two churches represented here. There appeared a great one in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. We'll save time. This is the church. The whole of the church, Israel. 12 stars represent the 12 tribes of Israel. All right. Next verse. And she cried. And she being with child cried, travailing in am pained to be delivered. Next verse. Give me the next verse. I'm going to wait some of this. Give me the next verse. Where it says he was caught up. 12:4. 12:4. 12:4. Please. Yeah. Okay. There was a devil that was waiting to devour the child. That's not, okay. This is what I want. 12:5. And she brought forth what? Come on, guys. She brought forth a man child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. Now, catch this. And her child was what? Caught up unto God and unto his throne. Amen. The child, the fruit of that church was elevated to be like God. But what happened to the church? Look at verse 6. Next verse. And the woman fled. Hello, somebody. Why didn't the woman get caught up? Very simple. The woman, the church, travailed. What I'm saying is there's a part of the church, the woman, that travails. That part will be caught up. But the woman herself, in this understanding, will not be caught up. As you read later on, you find out that she was prepared a place and the devil made war with the woman and the remnant of her seed. What are we saying? We're saying the woman who was bowed down can bring forth a fruit and yet not partake of that fruit. Hello, somebody. There's a travailing church and there's a general church. A travailing church will be caught up. Now, that's not God's will to leave the woman on earth. But the woman has to make choices to be part of what God is doing and be lifted up. No more bowed down. Do we get it? So, there's a travail. Hello, let me give you an example. The Lord gave me this. He said, Mary is the type of the church. Mary brought forth Jesus. But she also had other brethren that she birthed in the same womb who did not believe in Jesus. That's how it is now. There's a church that believes in the perfection and fullness of Christ in a church that does not believe. All brethren. But there's coming a time of separation. Pastor was preaching today. The tares and the wheat. We're in that season now. This is not God's will. So, now, this woman, like we said, she must have had some intimacy. For to bring her forth, she must have had some intimacy. But she did not have, sadly, the intimacy to the degree that she became, took on the character of Christ to become like the Christ. Amen? What I'm saying is not every intimacy with God that bears fruit. Amen. Case in point. Let me quickly go there. Matthew 7:21. Quickly. Matthew 7:21. Oh, look at Sharon. Tell your neighbor, put on your prophetic cap. Now let's read this. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord. Why would they say Lord? They know him. He's Lord. They call him Lord, Lord. But say, not everyone that saith Lord, Lord shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, which is the full dominion of the Christ nature over your mind, will, emotions, and physical body, and manifest the glory of God. They call him Lord. And guess what? Next verse. Many will say to that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name have cast out devils. In thy name have done many wonderful works. They got results with the name of the Lord. And Jesus didn't deny it. But he said, next verse. Then I will pray to them, I never knew. You know, whenever I have the intimacy that will help you to become like me and to get my character, my fruit. Amen. So they had spiritual intimacy but did not produce the fruit of the. They operated gifts, they operated external anointings, what Pastor Lee was talking about this morning, but had none of the divine character of the person that they claim as Lord. And yet they were part of the bride, of the church, the woman. Amen. I also want to know this woman was also a woman of Abraham. She's a daughter of Abraham. She was in covenant with God. Do you understand what I'm saying? She should have been blessed. She should have been blessed and be a blessing. She had the covenant relationship under the covenant with Abraham. Amen? But rather, she's not being a blessing and be blessed. She was cursed. She was under the bondage of Satan. A live covenant daughter, covenant church, but dead. Thou hast a name that thou livest, but thou art dead. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. Why are we preaching this? I says, warning every man, teaching every man, that we present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. This woman of Abraham, nobody received her testimony of God Hello, somebody. Because she was bent double, bowed down, and unable to lift herself up. Amen. And there are so many churches like this today. I don't want to go into all that. That's not the point of this message. Amen. There are women or churches, spiritual and leaders, saints, that profess having a covenant with God, but cannot be a witness for God. Hello, somebody. Pastor Lee was talking about some of them this morning. So, bow down in the realm of the spirit, subject to satanic manipulation and infirmities. What was the problem with this woman? It's a type of church again. The Bible says she was bound, help me Lord, by a spirit of infirmity for 18 years. Now, that number is significant. Why? Because God said it's recorded in the scripture twice. So you need to pay attention to that. How did God know? By word of wisdom. God told you. 18 years is no short time, but there's a reason that 18 is significant at two levels. Number one, we're talking about the woman as a type of the church. That church, that woman had been bound for 18 years. That is significant because the Lord Jesus began going about the business of the Father at what age? What age? He was 12. When did he inherit the Spirit without measure? 30. Take 12. Sister, how do you do the math? How many years? 18. So this was a woman who should have been, this was a church who ought to have been on the verge of inheriting the Spirit without measure. But she was still bound, bowed down, unable to rise up and look to the Lord God for help. 18 years. Hello? Number two. 18 can be done in two ways. Either 3 times 3 times 2. We're going to use 9 times 2. All right? 9 is the number of what? Gifts. 9 times 2 is 18. Number two. 9 times 2. So she had this woman. This woman, this church had a full witness of the gifts. Thank you. Gifts. The word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits, gifts of special things, gifts of healing, prophecy, diversities of tongues, interpretation of tongues. Hello? Hello? She did miracles. Let me not paralyze anybody. Amen. Gifts of healings, miracles, bursting out all over, right, left. That was what they were chasing. And there's nothing wrong with that. Pastor said it this morning. We don't forget Pentecost. We don't forget Passover. But the season has changed. Papa Ralph preaching once a long time ago. I'm getting ahead of myself. He said, the greater swallows up the lesser. The greater is the new season we are in. It is no longer a season of giftings, even though gifts will still take place. It is now a season of fruit. Tabernacles is all fruit. So instead of having a witness of the giftings, the externalities, you know what makes them, why they like those things? Because it makes them look good, you know? When somebody comes with a wheelchair and walks out without a wheelchair, blah, 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 go. But see, those things are externalities. They're physical. Now, it's the Spirit of God in many cases, but we also know in some cases that it's not the Spirit of God. Pastor Riley sent me a post in the early. I almost wept when I read it. These are heavy, cold, worldwide televangelic ministries. And they actually, some people did an investigation and found out that there were those of them who had people come in planted to show that there was power at work in there. All that business of throwing away crutches and, you know, people getting up and, oh man. It is subject to counterfeiting, but you cannot counterfeit fruit. That's why this woman's bowed down. The emphasis was on physical externalities, the things of fruit, the things that men can see. Hello, somebody. Men can see when you're, you heal 1,000 people. We had a great time. The Lord was here. Hallelujah. Many people got born again, you know. People were just getting up. We had this pile of crutches. Now, it could happen. It will happen. But you know what the important thing is? I'm not knocking gifts. Please, get me right. I am not knocking. Give me John chapter 15. I want to just hit that running. John 15 verse 8, quickly. I want to put the scripture behind this. Thank God for the giftings. We love gifts. By the way, so we've operated in this house. We see the season is now fruit. This is what it says. Heard John 15, 8. This is what it says. Herein, let's read it together. Herein is my Father glorified. This is how my Father is glorified in his church. That you do what? Oh, I thought it was that you operated the gifts of the Spirit. If you look at some churches, hello. If you look at the majority, that's what they're chasing after. Prune, gifts. Ha. And they will go to Endor to go and get the power. So that they can look good and the money can keep rolling in. Hello, somebody. We're describing a church that is bowed down. It may look good. Forget all the trappings on the physical. What is God seeing? God doesn't look with the eye of man. Here is my Father, glory, brother. You bear much fruit, so you shall be my disciples. Hello, somebody. In other words, Father, forgive me for saying it like this, but if you are not bearing much fruit, you may not be his disciple. I didn't say will not be. I said you may not be. No absolute there. Amen. Now, as I said, gifts are important in their place. They were given to profit the body. Amen. But like I said, the season has changed. The emphasis has now changed from gifts, externalities, to fruit. Amen. Giftings are okay. God even gives gifts to the church. He even gives gifts to the rebellious also, the Bible says, that he may dwell among them. So does the gifting imply his favor? Approval? If he gives to rebellious people? He's just working through them. Hello! He gave a gift of word of knowledge to a donkey to fulfill his purpose. Was a donkey a disciple? Oh, oh. To put these things in perspective. Amen? His life will look good. Amen? And a lot of it is because of covetousness. Because you know that if they do some heavy things, you see people. So, you know, sometimes I wonder. Sometimes, you know, when I had this, follow a week or two backwards, I got the opportunity to actually watch these faith programs on TV. I was astounded. I was sad. You know, the things that they put emphasis on, you will hardly find anybody talking about fruit. It's all gifts. It's all this. We got these people healed. This one was healed. This one, you know, was prosperity. It's all covetousness. That's why the church is bowed down. What God really wants is fruit, character. And you know, the sad thing about it is that really, you know, those giftings, they are just temporary manifestations of the Spirit without measure, which comes when you get the Christ character, you perfect love, that will now come upon us permanently. All those giftings is a temporary manifestation of that Spirit. Heal somebody. You know, the Bible says it comes and it goes. It comes and it goes. As the Spirit wills. God wants to give you the fullness of that thing. Wants to give I the fullness of that thing. But you got to develop fruit. Because if you don't have the fruit of his character, it will cause you to misbehave. So when you have the fruit, when you develop the character of Christ, when we develop the character of Christ, when we're truly established, then God can trust you with the fullness of that measure, knowing you will never, never misuse it. So your words will be words of wisdom. Hello? Every time you stretch out your hand to heal, it'll be a miracle. You don't even have to specially do it. Look at the Lord Jesus. His words were prophecy. Anytime you stretch your hand, be healed. Oh, I love it. When he says, I know if you want, you can heal. He says, I will. Didn't even touch the guy. Just spoke the word. Bang. The guy was healed. Instantly. Like this lady. Pastor, when Jesus laid hands on her, she was healed immediately. That's the power of the Spirit without measure. Amen. Hello. You have discernment of spirits as and when the Holy Spirit wills. Look, I remember the time I went to the gathering demoniac. Amen. This is what God is showing us. Amen. So 24/7, the gifts will be upon you because you have fruit. This is the emphasis of God, folks. Like Pastor Day was saying a week ago or so, two Wednesdays, I think, or last Wednesday, talking about the weightier matters. Much of the church has, because of these giftings and fruits and the covetousness, making merchandise of their giftings, have neglected these weightier matters. And are doing the things that are not weighty, that are not the important things. God says, these things you should have done, that is the weightier matters of judgment, mercy, and faith, and not leave the other things. So we don't leave gifts behind, but we incorporate it to what God wants now, which is fruit. Amen. So this is significant. And I said, this reminds me of two things. The parable of the tree that was planted in the vineyard of God. That's a typical parable of what's going on this season now. God is coming to this vineyard. His vineyard, incidentally. The tree was planted in a blessed land. Hello? You are planted in a blessed land here. Hello? You are going to bring forth fruit. Thank you for that. The Lord Jesus came looking for fruit after 3 years. And I said, you found nothing on it. 3 whole years. The time of perfection was the season of perfection. But there was nothing to show. I said, okay, let's pull the tree down. But the vineyard distressor said, look, let's just keep it for now. They're dunging around. So what we're doing here is, by the grace of God, we're dunging around again. Because the season is upon us. God is looking for fruit. Same thing with the fig tree on the way to the temple. What happened? All he saw was an externality of, you know, leaves. I said, surely there's fruit there. God said there was no fruit. Zero. God cursed the tree. God will not curse your own tree in Jesus' name. That's why we're preaching this. Amen. And so interesting, this parable of the fig tree, the vineyard, comes just before this account in the scripture. So, how now? So, what was the solution? Hello. Are we getting something out of this? What was the solution to the predicament of this bent over one who could not arise in the time of arising? It says, arise and shine, thy light is come, the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Amen. The Lord called her to him, and he said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid hands on her, and immediately, the spirit without measure, she was made straight, and then she was able to glorify God. Now, what did the woman do? This is what the Lord Jesus did. What did the woman do to get straightened and to be able to glorify God? It's obvious. He responded to the call of the Lord Jesus. She responded to his call. And she was made whole. What is the call of God to his church today? Only one. Give me Romans 8:28. I love somebody. But there's the gifts and the calling of God. Many giftings, but only one calling. Romans 8:28, it says, and we know that all things work together for good, that love God to them who are what? The called. So there's a calling to purpose. What is that purpose? Next verse, go on. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be what? Conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So in other words, the call that she responded to, as Jesus was in the temple, in the synagogue, teaching, he was teaching the Christ, the calling, and how to enter into the Christ life. And the woman responded to that call and came. She knows she had to leave where she was. She had to leave where she was. All her own attitudes, all her own surmises, all the things she had been doing hitherto that were keeping her bound. She had to leave it all behind. Throw it off. Take off the garment like blind Bartimaeus when he saw the Christ walking. Bible says he took off his garment and he ran towards Christ. God said, what do you want? He said, that I might see. And he said, immediately he was made whole. Responded to the call. The call to be conformed to the image of Jesus. This is the call. This is the plan and purpose of God for the church. Thank God for gifts and graces. I say again, they're not, you know, we're not to throw them away. But we have to recognize that this is where God is now. So that we will not be, hello somebody. I hope I'm getting across to some people today. We will not be bowed down in this day of the Lord's coming. And brethren, we are in that season now. Let me show you what the Lord showed me. Give me Luke chapter 21 verse 25. Very familiar verse. We've been saying it's been cropping up over and over. So the call is what? To be conformed to the image of Jesus, that he might be the first. Hello somebody, folks. The church, the leadership, the saints that are not responding to this call, I don't care how good they look, how much giftings and miracles, how much money that has never been God's yardstick in the first place. I don't care how good it looks. I don't care how many branches or how many television stations you're on. If you're not responding to that call, you are bowed down. You are under demonic affliction. You have a demonic infirmity and you will not be able to look up or rise up when the Lord comes. Period. You will not see the Lord. Doesn't matter what you're doing. If you're not, oh, Pastor Davis, God bless you for that. Give me 1 Timothy. Help me, Lord. 1 Timothy, I think it's chapter 6. Hallelujah. Why did you stop playing with me? Your fingers got tired. I was praying and got tired. Let me shut Pastor Guida down. Look what he says. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3. Hello, somebody. This is a total statement. And I didn't say it. It's the Lord that said it. Verse 3. If any man teach otherwise, get this, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the doctrine which is what? According to godliness. If any man consent not to the doctrine which is according to godliness. Next verse. He is what? Proud. Knowing nothing. Hello? Over my scripture. God says he's nothing. Availeth nothing. But don't you about questions and stripes of word. Wherefore comes envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings. Hello? Next verse. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth. Their conscience is seared. They don't have any truth. Now, they may be speaking the word, but it's not coming out of a pure heart. Because they're destitute of truth. Supposing, now this is the hallmark. Supposing that what gain is godliness, from such come out of Babylon. Come out of her, that you be not partaker of her sins. We went silent. I thought you say amen. You're not in Babylon. Are you? Babylon is not a place. It's a heart condition. Hello, somebody. Okay, back to Luke 21. Thank you, Pastor Dave, for that. Now, verse 25. 21:25. Luke 21:25. And there shall be signs in the sun. We're talking about present truth. This is where we are now. And there shall be signs in the sun. In the moon and the stars. We all remember the four blood moon tetrad. Pastors preached it, you know, extensively in this house. Four blood moon tetrad that synchronizes with the Shemitah year of release. And also synchronizes, incidentally, with the tabernacle, Feast of Tabernacles. Amen? We are in this season now. This is what's going on now. Verse 25 says, and there shall be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity. This is present truth, present time. How many people agree? This is what's going on now. The sea and the waves, that is not Atlantic Ocean or the Bight of Prince, talking about the multitude of men and the waves roaring. Next verse. Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming from above. Because they're bound down. Coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Stop there. This is where we are now. Now, skip verse 27. Okay, let's read verse 27. Just briefly look at it. And then you shall see the Son of Man coming. The Son of Man coming. The Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. That Son of Man is a Christ. Apostolic and prophetic teachers that bring the word of the Lord that will cause a lifting up in this season. Only one amen. As I say, put on a prophetic cap, Son of Man. Okay, thank God it's Jesus. Amen. But there are those who God is making his image and likeness who are perfecting the love of God. And they're going to come in a cloud, apostolic clouds. Amen. Prophetic apostolic clouds. Amen. And they're going to bring that rain of doctrine to everyone grass in the field who is willing to listen. Hello, summer. We're talking prophetically. Anyway, next verse is where I'm actually going. Now, this is beautiful. You'll see this. Oh, help me, Lord. How? Help me, Lord. Amen. Now, when these things, not when they have, when these things begin, have they begun to come to pass? Have they begun to come to pass? What does he say do? Then look up. Then lift up your heads. Heads there is plural. Not just head. It's not that somebody has two heads. He's talking about the body of Christ. Not to talking to one person. Talking about the entire body. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and let the King of Glory. Even the kings are bowed down, but that's a good bowing down. That's what I mean. Says why? For your redemption draweth nigh. So when all these things begin to come to pass, then the time is for the church to arise and look up and live. Is that, to look up is different from lift up your head. I will look up. And the Lord showed me. He said, looking up is like, you know, to lift up your eyes to desire and in prayer. Like that Psalm 121 we always read. I will lift up my head, my eyes to the hills from whence my help cometh. My help cometh. Look up, say, Lord, help! But how can a woman or a church that is bowed down look up? Says she in no wise able to lift herself up. The focus is still upon the earth, upon the things that are mundane. You didn't heed the call. Says, Lord, let your affection be set upon things that are above. And crucify your flesh. Mortify your physical body. And all the desires that keep you bound to the earth. Pastor Peter Message some many years ago. Talked about eagle saints. Or was it a book? I think it was a book we read. Eagle saints arise. Talking about those chickens who are always on the earth. They don't get far above the earth. But when you're an eagle, you rise and you move up on the wings of a spirit to the highest level. Lift up your head. Look up. Now, what does it mean to lift up your heads? I said it's plural. Speak to one of them. Oh, this is beautiful. See, this Bible. Ah, Lord have mercy. We don't know anything yet as we ought. Many things we know. This Bible also says, lift up your head means to restore a person to what their former dignity was. And lift up your head. And he gave me a scripture. Believe it or not. I just stumbled upon it. It's not me, oh, it's the Lord. I just stumbled upon it. Look at Genesis chapter 40, verse 13. Oh my goodness. This book, Genesis 40, 13. Quickly. Oh Lord have mercy. How many people remember Joseph in prison? How many remember Joseph was in prison and God kept him for another 2 years because he wanted to go out and after the butler and the baker. Now, this was the butler and the baker. They told him his dreams and he was interpreting the dream for them. Look what the dream says. Verse 13. Verse 12. Let's see verse 12. And Joseph said unto him, this is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Verse 13 is where the punchline is. And within 3 days, first and second day, I cast out devils and do cures. On the third day, I shall be perfected. Right from Genesis. Within 3 days, Pharaoh is the type of the king, shall do what? Lift up thine head and restore thee unto thy place. What place? The place of glory. For all have come short. 3 days. After 3 days, the king will lift up your head and restore thee to thy place. And I shall do all that. But the essence is, 3 days. In the third day, he will be perfected. In the third day, he will lift up our head. He will restore us to the place from whence all men have fallen. Restore the fullness of the measure of the glory upon us by the power of the Spirit without measure. In this third day. You haven't finished. Verse 20. Hey! Shoot yourself. Verse 20. Verse 20. Forget about Luke 13. I just quoted that. Verse 20. Yeah. And it came to pass The third day, which was the day the king was rebirthed in fullness. Now, he's not coming now as a child. He's coming in his fullness, in his church. For the Lord has suddenly come to his temple. So there will be a birthing of the Lord in fullness into his church in this third day. And he'll make a feast to all his servants. In Genesis, this book. Anyway, that's it. So here it is. So within 3 days, Pharaoh, Tabitha, will lift up our head and restore us to place. Thy place, say thy place. God has lifted you in Jesus Christ to sit in heavenly places in Christ. But the fullness of it now, God will make manifest in his church. Amen? Hello, somebody. Bible says in Ephesians, remember from whence thou art fallen and repent and do the first works. But the point is here, at this time, when the church is expected to arise, there are those who are still bowed down and over the majority. Let me just say it. The majority are still bowed down spiritually, their eyes on earthly things. But God is going to make a difference. And the reason we're preaching this is so that all of us can take heed. Now, what must a woman do? First of all, let's remember that it wasn't said he had a spirit of infirmity. In this, you see, infirmity is not the issue. There's no infirmity you have that God can't deal with. Hello, man. There's nothing that God cannot take care of if you submit it to him. Apostle Paul. Bible says he was buffeted of the devil. He saw the Lord 3 times. I said, what did he say? He said, my grace is sufficient for you. My health, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Not that you're weak, but let me acknowledge that weakness and I will now allow grace to fall upon you. And what the Apostle Paul does is he glowed in his infirmities. He took necessity and reproaches that the power of Christ may rest upon him. What did he do? What is the first thing he must do? Humility. One amen. Folks, that's the key to everything. I could just finish the message. Humility. How? What? What made the Apostle Paul go? He had no way of dealing with it. And he had to admit that he was not able to deal with it. So I saw the Lord thrice. And he will take it away. And I can't do it. But I said, don't worry. My grace is sufficient to overcome and rejoice in this season in spite of this infirmity. That's what happened when the woman went from her place and went to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. She could have said, hey, we've tried everything before. Nothing has worked. I bet. For 18 years. After 18 years, it's over. I bet. Let me just, this is my cross. So it's not your cross. So. You know how people talk foolishly sometimes. It's my cross God has given me to bear. Oh, submit it. Humble yourself. Understand that God is there. His grace is sufficient. So the first step is honesty and humility of heart. Hello? To respond to, obey, and submit and obey Christ-like fathers whom God has given the word that will set us free. Like this house, for example. Been in this place now by the grace of God for about 30 years. By the grace of God, I can say truly that word has set, is setting, and will set me free. Amen. There are folks, the pastor says, if you don't get it from some, there's people that God has given a word to set you free. And if you don't get it from that, or somebody like them, or somebody that heard them say what they say, you will never get it. You will get it in Jesus' name. So what we're saying, folks, the key to everything is humility. Amen? To come under the covering of Christ like kings. Oh, dear God, help me to preach this. Hello, somebody. Folks, covering is no more a choice. It is a mandate. Two or three amens. You see, this is the problem. When we get into the key of humility, everybody starts to look at me like, what you talking about? Folks, there's no... Jesus himself, learn of me. I am meek and lowly in heart. How many people want rest for their souls in this day? How many people don't want to be afraid? How many people don't want to see all these signs and things buffeting? Hello? The only place of refuge is in rest. And is rest under the covering of fathers. Give me Isaiah 32. I have to say it again. Isaiah 32, verse 1. Quickly, we're closing. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. Next verse. And a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind. How many want a hiding place from the wind? One or two. All right? And a covering from the tempest. You want a covering from the tempest? Put your hand up. Better be put your hand up. God is watching. Everybody's looking at me for it. And as rivers of water in a dry place. How many people want to be thirst to be slaked when it's dry? How many want to be refreshed when they're dry? As a shadow of a great rock in a weary land. When you're weary and you need somewhere to stay, just to chill for a while, just cook up anything. Yeah, bye. That's why you need to be undercover. Rock. Revelation. Rock of the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, I'm telling you, that rock that is cleft for you, it was cleft for you. But see, you're not going to see the Lord Jesus. You won't see the Lord Jesus except you look at your fathers. Thank you. I was in Isaiah 50. Look unto Abraham and say, the rock from whence you are hewn. Give me that. We're going to go there. Hello, somebody. Folks, the key is humility, oh. If that woman did not move, she will still be bowed down till today. If you don't make up your mind to do it, you will not be bowed down. Because you will not be disobedient. You will not be proud. Bible says the proud dwelleth in a dry place. Look unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah that bear you, for I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. Give me verse 3. Why did the Lord call Abraham your father and Sarah your mother and bless them? So that the Lord will comfort Zion. How? Through them. How good, how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell in unity, and I add under covering. Because you see, you cannot have unity without covering. That's the problem with the body of Christ. Everybody's trying to do their own thing, trying to bring unity by political means. No, it ain't going to work. It wasn't this. Unity is a spiritual force. It's not designed to be politically subservient. It has to be done by the Spirit. In obedience to the tenets of the Scripture. So you can never, 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 ever have unity at God's level in a political organization. I'm not going to name any names of any political organizations. But that's not unity. That's just a coming together for covetousness and purpose that is not aligned with God. Just covetousness. Just one guy wanted to lord it over a few others. That's all. But the real unity of God is under covering. The Bible says you endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. How can you have unity where there's no peace? One faction here, another faction there. Faction. You say you have unity? This is how it is. It says, for the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places. Thank you for that scripture, Isaiah 35. He will make her wilderness like Eden, the garden of the Lord, and her desert places like the garden of the Lord, and joy and gladness shall be found. You are the daring, no? Are you not? How many are Zion here? You are the daring. Shall be found therein. Thanksgiving and the voice of melody. And if you go to Habakkuk, we won't go there, because it says, in this place, in Mount Zion, there shall be peace, rest. But all this comes when you submit under the covering keeping of kings. Father, have mercy. I don't know if I'm getting across anybody here, but I'm telling folks, there's no other way. There's just no other way. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, I think verse 5 or 6, where it says, let all of us be clothed with what? Humility, for God resisteth the proud and gives grace to the humble. The Lord will deliver us in Jesus' name. That's his purpose. The common measure. He says, the Lord will lift up the meek. Amen. Amen. And so she was bowed down. Now, so we must go and submit ourselves, humble ourselves to these fathers, these kings. How do you tell who are the kings? Very quickly. Luke chapter 43, verse 45. Luke chapter 6, 43, verse 45. Luke 6, 43. Amen? This is how you know kings. A good tree bringeth more forth corrupt fruit. Now there's a corrupt fruit bring forth, corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Next verse. For every tree is known by his own fruit. I was going to go on that, but let me just leave that for now. For false men do not gather figs, nor a bramble bush gather grapes. Next verse. This is the fruit now. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. That's the fruit he's talking about. The good treasure in the heart of man. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth that which is forth of the abundance of the heart, of the fruit of the heart, his mouth speaketh. What does he say? What is he saying? What is he preaching? Does he bring a word that, like Pastor David was saying this morning, causes your spirit to resonate? Does he build a word that challenges you to lift yourself up? Or is he telling you that if you just pay a tithe here or you give to the man of God, all things are settled? Hello, somebody. And instead of living a life before you, seeing jaunting about all over the world, let me not get into that. Oh, God. We want to thank God for our fathers who exemplify this. Good treasure. And how do I know? I'm a product of that good treasure by his mercy and grace. Oh, yes, sir. I've been here for a number of years now, and I can tell you there's good treasure in this house. So if you're following online, hey, you've linked up to the place where God is bringing good fruit. Amen. Amen. Have they inherited the promise of God in their lives? Do they have dominion over sin? The Bible talks about kings that scatter away all evil with their eyes. Evil doesn't even come near them. I want to thank God for mommy. She sent all of us the EDs, a WhatsApp about the 34 parameters that mark a mature Christian. 34 is in our WhatsApp. Maybe we ask for me and Pastor to help us. Maybe you should just send it to everybody. I don't know. Maybe they give us permission. We might do that. But the essence is, do you know every single one? For Pastor and mommy, tick, 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 tick. Not one. You can even in your mind say, ah, everyone. So everything ticked. I don't know if any of you saw, you guys. I mean, I was like, Lord, we are grateful. Thank God for the blessing. And those are the people that are covering you. Why will you not grow? Why will you not see the fullness of Christ? Now, Pastor Lee was saying, when that, shakarakoko. Psalms 133 again. When that anointing is poured out, it will be poured out upon the head. And the Bible says it flows down his beard to the skirts of his garments. If I'm not beard, I'm skirt. Everywhere. So you walk in the anointing while you're still growing. Give Lord a clap offering. You will not be left out. How do you remember that guy that was in Mark? Was it Mark or was it Luke chapter 9? Or where you know, the Lord Jesus was preaching somewhere and he saw him doing miracles. And the thorns of thunder wanted to strike the man or tell the man to stop. God said, don't touch him. There's no man that can do a miracle, man, that can speak lightly of me. He was walking that anointing. He was connected. He was under the skirts of the Lord Jesus' garments by the Spirit. Amen. So these are the kings. Do they have dominion over sin? Are they inheriting the promise? The Bible says that we should be followers of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Amen. Now these may be, these are not necessarily blessings, physical blessings alone. Amen. The things that money cannot buy. The favor of God. Favor with God or man. The work of God and their seed. Amen. Generations being blessed right before their very eyes. These are the promises. Amen? And believe me, let me tell you, they're better than riches, though. Papa Rob preached something one day. He said, the things that money cannot buy, that is real wealth. You can't buy generation blessings. You can't buy. Only God can give. That's what we were saying this morning. A man said, blessed the man that feareth the Lord, for his seed shall be mighty upon the earth. You can't buy that one. You can't buy. Are they inheriting these blessings? Amen. Do they exercise dominion, governmental authority? These are kings. Do their words spoken come to pass? Ah, in this house. The answer is yes. Thank you for that. Amen. 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 I can never forget November 4th, 2008. It is rock solid. And then the same thing happened 4 years later. You know what happened November 4th, 2008? That was the day Obama was elected as the President of the United States, the first black man. And it came to pass. And he's about to come to pass again. Pastor is a prophet. He sees ahead, you see. Amen. I'm telling you, folks, for me, anything after that day, I wept like a child that day. Because I've lived there, so I know. It's an impossibility, except God does it. Because with God, nothing shall be impossible. And he was there for mommy. He said, two terms. Before the terms began, what is sosita? What is daddy? Now, somebody else says, don't, just let him do that one, you know. At least, oh, don't you say, no, mommy said, no, two terms. As a witness, so that God is not a favor, he doesn't favor anybody. 8 solid years. Give the Lord a clap of praise. I don't know if that doesn't rock your boat, I don't know what will. I'm telling you, folks. Yes, we have the highest approval rating of any president in recent times. And he's living without disgrace. That was what mommy prophesied. The father, and it is upheld. Kings, I'm talking about kings that rule in righteousness, that reign. All right, let's close. So we come under the covering of these kings, amen? And we obey their instruction. We use the blood, the word, and the power of the Holy Spirit by prayer and travail, perfecting the love of God in our lives. The law of the spirit of life in Christ is what makes free from the law of sin and death. Folks, except that bowed down woman, that church that can't see anything, operates that law, that position may never change. Because it's only that law that can overcome the law of sin and death. That's that spirit of infirmity that is keeping that woman bound. But in Christ Jesus, it will bow. Because the law of the spirit of life will set that woman free from the law of sin and death. Amen? So perfect the law of Christ, remove the sin nature. We know all these things. But what I really want to, this is the gold standard. And what I really want to introduce, can you put up that thing now, Bimbo, that chart? I want to just quickly, you know, we've said it before, but we want to just show you again. The gold standard is using the blood, the word, and the spirit. Every morning you pray with travail, with tongues, and all throughout the day you keep yourself in the spirit, Bible reading, Bible study, everything. But I want to show us what the entry level is. Pastor has said it many times, so I want to show you there's an opportunity. You must tithe 2.5 hours of your daytime, every time, every day. Amen? Everybody say amen. 2.5, okay. Well, it says, is this, okay, yeah. So now look what it says. It says you tithe the time daily. But you see these love prayers that start here, 15 minutes, eh? That is the entry-level standard. I'm writing this for... Some of us are coming new. Amen. Some of us are listening to us for the first time on the internet. Amen. And some of us... here too, thank God, you have entered. Now you need to step up. Hello? That 15 minutes is no more sufficient for you. Hello? Everybody's looking at me funny. You know yourself. As I'm speaking, that truth is resonating in your heart. There is something you will know if you are there. But we can start with 15 minutes of love prayers. You start there. Do those every single day. And because you humble yourself and you are doing it in faith from a pure heart, amen, God will honor that faith. And God puts you and plugs you under the covering of fast. Folks, let me say it again. That covering is so important this day and hour. Because the option is a spirit of disobedience that is working. There's no other option. It is A or B. There's no middle ground. You're either under covering of kings or you're under the covering of the power of the spirit of the air, the spirit that works in the children. You will not be under that covering in Jesus' name. Because you will step forward. You will humble yourself. And I'm speaking not just us here. Many of us here are doing it already, so it's not to you, but more to the people who are listening and those particular who are hearing this, you know, kind of message for the first time. Amen? So you use the 12 human... love and humility prayers every morning. And all throughout the day, you're walking in the Spirit, praying as often as possible. Ideally, it should be at least 6 times a day. We can pray as often as the opportunity presents itself. Always praying in the Spirit. Washing for you. Say, Father, I confess my sins. In Jesus' name, you have life. You pray in tongues for yourself to wash the sins. And you know that have accrued up until that moment. Amen. And you pray for yourself and those connected to you, those in your family, etc. Just by this simple act of obedience. This simple act of obedience and submission. You're undercovering. Isn't God wonderful? It's so simple. Everybody can and should. I don't care your age or whatever. You can do this. Just 12 prayers. Pray in tongues, pray in the understanding, say the word out. You know, I confess my sins in Jesus' name, have that, and I keep myself in the love of God, not allow anything, anyone to offend me, blah, 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 whatever. Or, for example, the humility prayer. I humble myself by submitting to the will of God even when I don't feel like it, especially in prayer, knowing the certainty of the judgment. You know, you pray in tongues. And you do that just 12. Really? And you have government over the day under the covering of God. It's wonderful. Amen. Amen. Thank you. One amen. Amen. And this is how we do it. So in this day when they say arise and shine, you will arise indeed. Amen. So when men say there's a casting down, for you there's a lifting up. For you there's a looking up. Amen. For you, you will see, your eyes of understanding will be enlightened, and you will prosper in this day, in spite of the times and the seasons we are in. Don't look at the what's going on around you. Look above. That's where your help is coming from. Lift up your eyes. Amen. Finally! Another finally. Note that it's not everybody that will be happy when you are loose from infirmity. Hello, somebody. This lady, let's go back to that scripture now. Where's it now? Luke chapter 13. In verse 13 or 14, thereabouts. Luke chapter 13. This man, this shows you what is the depravity of the heart of man. He was the one that had been bound 18 years. Had not been able to lift herself up, had not been able to even look up, even to see the sky, ordinary sky. She'd been bowed down, her focus. And then she gets healed. And this man is indignant. Why do you heal? Should you say, 6 days men ought to work? For Jesus, it wasn't work, it was his lifestyle. Hello, somebody. Because the spirit of that measure was upon him 24/7. He wasn't working. That's his walk, not his work. And it's going to be the same for us too. That's the way you walk. You're not working it out. Your work is not work. It's a delight. So he heals the man. He heals the lady. And the rulers of us answer with indignation. Said, Jesus healed us. I said, there are 6 days in which men ought to work. And then therefore come and be healed. Hello. That lady had been in his church 18 years. And nothing had happened. She said, come again next time. Don't come on. That was her point of, that was her time of meeting with Jesus. That was her time of appointment. And when you meet with Jesus and you meet him, there are people that want to take that away from you. Don't allow them. Hello, somebody. Now, who does this ruler represent? He represents the established spiritual, present spiritual order. Amen. Those who, like the Pharisees, know everything but do nothing. Who are benefiting from the captivity of the people. This lady was bringing alms all these years. I'm sure she would have given the leader single time money for prayer. Wadwa. 18 years and nothing. A woman who has spent all her living on physicians and had no, she was still blood after 12 years. There are people like that. They want you to be subservient, they want to keep you in their pocket. To be filling that pocket up and you will not see daylight. You will see daylight in Jesus' name. Come out from them. Be not partaker of their sins. Until she heard the teaching of the Lord and responded. Mercy, Lord. Be careful of traditions and programs that make the word of God in your life ineffective. I will close with this. Two things. One more thing. I once remember when Pastor and I, this was way years ago, we went to preach in a church. I won't name the church. Help me, Lord. We went to preach in a church and Pastor went to preach and I, of course, I was driving Pastor at that time. So we drove to the church in Lagos. Very, very big church there. One of these back churches. And Pastor preached the message there. He didn't even get into the message he was preaching. He was still taxiing. And he couldn't move. But he preached and he now gave an altar call. Anybody who was having problems, certain kind of problem, come out. And folks, the entire church, I'm saying the whole church emptied out and came. I was just looking at it. Everybody, there was no empty seat. Hello, somebody. Do you know Pastor has never been invited back to that church? Since that day, all the branches of that church, Pastor was not allowed to go back. Don't spoil the thing for us now. If you lose everybody, how are we going to feed? I mean, they didn't say that, but you know what I mean. That's it.
Well, thank God.
Tell God, thank God. Today, God has stepped out. Can't keep him. Can't keep the Holy Spirit bound. The Word of God is not bound. That's a good remembrance. Amen. But this is God has given us internet. Hello? We have internet. So you can be your local body and you can be worshipping with a true king and under the authority of a king without affecting what they're doing. They won't for just yell out. And when the time comes, God says, come on, you just step out. So it's all there. All you have to do is to plug in to inherit the promise, the spirit of the promise without measure, regardless of what's going on in your local church. God has made it simple. So if you're humble, you will get the glory. All you have to do is to obey and submit. Amen? And the local body, they will see you improving, but they will just wonder, pastor, sister, brother, sister, And when the glory comes and is made manifest in you, because you've been under cover of kings, and begins to manifest the spirit without measure, then they'll know that something really has happened. And you'll be a sign and a wonder to your generation. Amen? So don't worry. I'm talking about those who are not so members of this church. Amen? But so finally, for those in this, how many finalies now? That's about five or six. Okay. All right. For us in this house, who have this great, great, great privilege of being under the covering of these, our fathers, whom God has blessed and is blessing, and we are being blessed because of them. It's not your duty only. We are being blessed because you are under a place of refuge and rest. That's why you can wake up in the morning. Some people can't wake up and pray. Why not support you? Some people get up at 4 o'clock, the first thought is how to get a taxi to work. But that's not your portion. You have peace, you have rest. God is having mercy on you because of the covering of your fathers. That's what it is, folks. Give God the glory. Amen. So for you in this house, now why does it affect us? Well, the truth is you're under covering. But you know that the degree of your submission determines the degree of the covering you enjoy. Hello? Fully submitted, full covering. Partially submitted, there's some niggardly areas that you don't quite agree with pastor and mommy about. You're going to talk to them about it. You never do. Hello? I hope I'm not speaking to anybody in this congregation. Partial covering and partial humility, partial humbleness, partial submission, partial covering. I pray that it's not anybody's portion. No submission, no covering. That's the truth. So the degree to which you submit, you're now not being bowed down by a spirit of infirmity, but you are bowing down through a spirit of humility. And the degree to which you are willing to go down is a willing to which God will cause you to lift up your eyes unto the hills and get help from above. Is a degree to which God will lift your head up and restore you to your place from whence you have fallen and the glory. Degrees. You make your bed. You choose how much humility you want to walk in. And you're automatically choosing the degree to which you're going to enjoy the spirit without measure. When it comes upon the head and flows down to the rest of the body. Amen. May the Lord give us understanding. I've discovered something. Some people don't like to say amen when we talk about fathers. Some people don't like to say that. You are doing yourself a disservice. Every time we talk about fathers and we say in Jesus' name, you should say amen. And it's not from you. It's for you, your sake. I will always say amen. Because by the grace and mercy of God, by his life, I have revelation. And that itself is an indication. The Bible says, the eyes of them that see the Father shall not be dim. Their eyes shall not be dim. Their ears shall not hear. Shall hear. And the heart will no more be rash. Judge yourself. May the Lord give us understanding in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I will lift up my eyes to the hills.
I will lift up my eyes to the hills.
Shall we stand up?
From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord. Yeah.
to be looking up and lifting up hands to the Lord.
I will lift up my eyes to the
lift up your hands
from where cometh my
hallelujah.
My help
cometh from
the Lord, which made
the Lord which made heaven and earth. For he said, he will not suffer my foot,
my foot to you be can trust the Lord to do that.
That is so true. All, not a part, not a portion. You cannot help yourself. All of your help, all of my help, all of our help is from above. It's He that will lift us up. Let's put our hands up unto the Lord. One hand on the heart, and the other hand raised up in supplication to the Lord. And a heart, another hand upon our heart, declaring sincerity. Repeat after me. Say, Father, we confess our sins, so we clean with the blood of Jesus. From all unrighteousness, blocking our right standing with God. In Jesus' name, therefore, we have abundant life. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word to me today, reminding me of this season that we are in and the high calling to which you have called me in Christ Jesus to be perfected. I will no more be bowed down. Lord, I ask for mercy. Your grace and help, so that in this season, as you return to your church to seek fruit, you will find me fruitful under the covering of my Father's in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, because no longer will I be bowed down. No longer will I submit myself to the weak and the beggarly things of the earth, but rather this day, Lord, I lift up my eyes unto the hills from whence my help cometh. All of my help comes from you, the Lord God, who made heaven and earth. And because I do this, you will not allow my foot to be moved. You, Lord, give me grace and mercy. You will lift up my head, so that when men say there's a casting down, for me there shall be a lifting up. Help me, Lord, to humble myself and to learn meekness, humbling myself under the Father's, Lord, submitting to them, obeying their word and instructions, using the blood, the word, and the spirit to purge myself and to perfect divine love, so that in this day, as I endeavor to keep the unity of the spirit in the bond of peace, as the anointing comes upon the head, releasing the fullness of the Spirit without measure. Because I am under their covering, I will also be a partaker of the same. Thank you, Lord, because this is my portion. This is my heart's desire. Help me, Lord. Send help from heaven and bless me for my Father's sakes. In Jesus' name. Let's pray in tongues. Oh God, lift me up, Lord. Makelo masaka kalia. Rebe salomo shakambali berega. Rebe libaraka kaya. Rise karaka. Makara kusaka. In Jesus' name. We're not going to say our prayers for healing and health. Again, we put a hand upon your heart, wherever it is. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this time. Thank you, Lord, for the covering of our fathers. The Bible says, Himself, the Word, took our infirmities, and He bore our sicknesses on the cross. Therefore, Lord God, because He took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses, sickness, infirmity, and disease have no place, legally, no place in this precious body by us. And so, Lord, with faith in this word, I now cause the power of God to flow into my physical body. From the crown of our head, from the crown of our heads to the sole of our feet, and under the covering of fathers, causing now life to reign throughout our mortal flesh in the name of Jesus. That the life also of God might be made manifest in our mortal flesh in the name of Jesus. And so we cause now, because the spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead dwells in us, that spirit now gives life unto our mortal bodies, so that from the crown of our head to the sole of our feet we are healed in the name of Jesus. Life flows into our brain, into our heart, into our lungs, into our liver, into our circulatory system, into our immune system. Every part of every cell and every DNA within our bodies, we say you function according to what God has designed. There are no more errors in our DNA in the name of Jesus. And so by the stripes of the Lord Jesus Christ and his resurrection power under the covering of fathers, we are healed. We live in divine healing and health. And so we keep the laws of hygiene, of natural medicine, of diet, of physical exercise, and of rest in Jesus' name. Let's pray in the spirit now. Rumba de Rabakanda, Rumba Sedubaka, Hambaribalomi, Ambarbigede, Rimbidema Sapambari, Hanolomi, Rimbidemaka, Hambatsopika, Kalonai, Rambado, Mene, Rimbidemakaya, Rambabakoto, Piaka, Rimbidem, Sarahuma, 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 Mali, Menderobodobliga, Mambarabisaka, Korubia Pambari, Hamberomi, Abraka, Sakariano, Hadema, 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 Bandom, Zempen, Kurome, Torubia. Rumbelebo, Rambalo, Rigende, Rambelo, Son of Kempe, Papa, Rambelo, Tapan, Rakale, Senda, Vilibayolo, Mepe Sakaro, Sekitakaro, Ribe Sakaro, Mire Soko Kakalama, Vikele Duplica Pacaca, Vilibe Saka Kakurgurigra. In Jesus' name, praise the Lord. Now join hands with somebody and we'll say, and we close. Hold hands with somebody. Father, we thank you. Jesus. And so under the covering of the spiritual fathers, may the Lord bless and keep us all. The Lord make his face to shine upon us. May the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon us. The Lord God gives us peace. God makes his head and not tail. We're above only and not beneath. The Lord calls us to prosper and to excel and to be at least 10 times better than our peers in the name of Jesus. And so we possess the gates of our enemy, even the gates of death. So we shall live, we shall not die. We shall live, we shall not die. We shall live to declare the glory of God in the land of the living. The Lord satisfies us with long life And it shows us his salvation, even the perfection and the fullness of Christ in Jesus' name. Amen. And therefore, under the covering of fathers, Lord, anoints us with the mantles of Enoch, of Abraham, of Joseph, of Moses, of Joshua, of Ruth, of David, of Elisha, of Daniel, of Esther, of Paul, and of John, in Jesus' name. The grace, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, tell your neighbor, arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. In Jesus' name, God bless you. Have a great day.